Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We've been talking a couple of days ago about people being bilingual, and we had Gil here who translates Fred's messages and helps do other things and puts it into Spanish. And of course, we have a nice couple from Australia, and so I tell everyone that I'm bilingual as well. English is my second language. Kentuckian is my first language. But to keep confusion down today, I'm going to speak mostly in English. It's one thing good about being first. If someone else had the same idea for the sermon, I get to use the scriptures first. See, and they're copying me. Okay, well. Okay, I'll just speak a little louder. Usually I speak too loud. Okay. Can everyone hear me now? Okay. Okay, can everyone hear me now? Does that help? Okay, good deal.
There we go.
Oh, okay.
Good.
Now I'm going to start over. No, I'm not. Well, the title of this sermon is, I always try to come up with a good title, Let's Hold Each Other Up. And we've been talking about serving the brethren here at the Elders Conference. And how do we serve the brethren? And all of us, not just the elders, but all of you, all the people have that's not here today, that's in the church, we all need to serve the brethren. It's a job for everyone. It's a job for every converted person. We need to help each other. Now, we're a scattered church. I mean, scattered church. So it's depends on your situation. For example, if you're able to meet in a small group, then you can serve the brethren in a little different way than if you're not in a group and you know you're just by yourself out here. But let's turn to Exodus 17, and I'm going to turn there to set the tone really of what the sermon is about. Exodus 17. It's page 189. I'm usually telling people because in our little group, what page is it on? And we're going to go down to verse 8. And when we read this, this is has to do with Moses. And it tells a good pointed story here that we can use to explain the sermon today. Verse 8 of Exodus 17. Then Amalek came and made war against Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose men of us and go to fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought against Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So we had Moses, Aaron, and Hur. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let it down, Amalek prevailed. But this is what happened next. But Moses' hand became heavy, and they took a stone, and he put it under him, and he sat on it. And then Aaron and Hur held up his hands, the one on the one side and one on the other side. And then his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So look, and then it says, of course, Joshua defeated Amalek. But the whole story here that I really want to zero in on is verse 12, where Moses' hands got heavy. Moses couldn't do it by himself. He had to have help. And those two came and gave the support that Moses needed. And we want to think about this because we all need help. We all need something. But how can we serve the brethren? How can you, all of you, help me? How can I help you? And what about all the other brethren that scattered out all over the nation? Well, one thing we can do, the most effective thing, and that is prayer. You can help me anytime you want to by prayer. I can also help you as well with prayer. Prayer is the most effective way for us to serve the brethren because we can pray that God will give the needs and take care of whatever it is that we need. Now, Paul spoke about this, and let's go to Ephesians 6. And this is one of the speaking about the armor of God, this is one of the pieces of the armor is prayer. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Now, Paul tells us to pray and pray for each other. And in effect, hold one another up before God. And that's what we need to be doing. Ephesians 6 and verse 18 and 19. He says, praying at all times with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And in this very thing, being watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So he's saying, pray. Pray for me. Pray for the saints. Then he asks, actually in verse 19, pray for me, he says, that boldness of speech may be given to me so that I may open my mouth and make known the mysteries of the gospel. So Paul was needing their help. But how could they help him? By praying and asking God to open up and give him the speech that he needed, give him the thoughts that he needed, give him the whatever he needed to carry out the work. And that's what I want us to think about. Serving the brethren in any way we can. And you think, well, I can't do a thing. I just cannot do anything. You can pray. Remember, pray. We're going to talk about some more here. Let's go to Philippians, verse 1. Paul gives the example. So we need to look at those examples that Paul had. Philippians 1 and verse 4. Paul says, always making supplication with joy in my every prayer for you. So Paul was praying for the Philippian church, even though he wasn't there necessarily, maybe just once in a while, but he was praying for the Philippians church. And so we can follow Paul's example in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 and 3, just a few pages over. Paul again says this. He says, continue steadfastly in prayer, watching in it with thanksgiving, and praying for us also, he says, so that God may open to us a door to proclaim the message of the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison. So Paul again is saying, I need your help. I want you to pray for me. I need your help. But he's also praying for them. Again, this is that combination that we need. And then 1 Thessalonians 5, just a few pages over in verse 17. Paul, again, he always talks about prayer. Pray unceasingly. So we can see here that prayer is a very effective way of serving the brethren. And this is something you don't even have to, you don't have to leave your living room to do. I mean, you don't have to leave your house. This is something that doesn't cost anything. It just requires you to think of the brethren. Now, as I said, I'm going to repeat some things here as I go along, but it's because I want you to remember this. All of us need prayer, and all of us need support from you, from all of you. And I know all of you need the same thing. We're to help each other. We're to serve the brethren. That's what one of the things we need to really just get it in our minds so deeply that in our hearts that we don't never forget it. We need to serve the brethren. There's a lot of people hurting out here. There's a lot of people lonely. There's a lot of things we can do. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Hebrews 10 and verse 24. Now again, Paul is writing this. And notice what he says. Notice the context and how he put it. Hebrews 10 and verse 24. He says, and let us be concerned about one another. And that's what I'm asking you to do. Be concerned about one another. And be stirring up one another unto love and good works. And this applies to all the elders as well. We are to be concerned with one another. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And if you have a chance to be in a local group, this is what we need to do. We need to be in a local group so that we can have fellowship, but so you can help people and you can find out what their needs are and you can tell people what your needs are. And it's a way of us being together. Even as some, he said, are accustomed to do, but rather encouraging one another. And that's what we need to do. Encourage one another. All the more as you see the day drawing near. And I think we see the day drawing near. So we need to encourage one another. We need to do the things that we just read here in Hebrews 10. Now let's go to Galatians 6 chapter. Back a few pages, Galatians 6 and verse 1 and 2. Galatians 6 and verse 1 and 2. And Paul again is writing this. page 1188. And this is an example of how we can serve the brethren, because sometimes these problems come in. He said, brethren, even if a man is overtaken in some offense, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So he's telling us here that we are to bear one another's burdens. We're to want to know what your problems are, and we can go to God in prayer, or we can help you in some other way, depending on the situation. But again, it revolves around service and serving the brethren, and that's what Paul is mentioning here. Now we, the elders, sometimes we can be like Moses. We can become kind of weary sometimes. Sometimes we can become kind of tired, needing help, needing someone up to lift us up. After all, I looked around the room during the elders' conference, and I don't think there were any young people. We're all getting to that, maybe that senior citizen age. But we all get weary. We all get tired from different things. And we all need help. And that's what I want to just emphasize. I need your prayer and I need your support. And I know you need my prayers and my support. So does Fred. So does Roy. And I can just name all the elders. Remember, when you feel like you maybe can't go another foot, remember, Wendell Smee is on your right side or your left side, helping to hold you up. And I know when I get tired and I get weary, I know I can count on you to be there as well, even though you may be hundreds of miles away. You're there through prayer, and I'm there with you through prayer. You know, I get phone calls from people sometimes, and they'll say, you know, so-and-so needs help or so-and-so needs this. I said, well, I'm not there. You go. You take care of the situation. I'll pray for them. I'll give you any kind of other help I can get, but I'm not there. That is part of your job, too, to serve the brethren. You're there. You handle it, and that's what I would say to you today. Take care of those problems. You know, I'm only one person. You know, Fred is only one person. And again, we can name all the elders, Larry, Roy, Marlon, Duncan, and we just keep naming. They're all, we cannot be but one place at a time. So we depend on you. We depend on you. And you know, you're going to get tired too, maybe. And you're going to need help. And you do. But let's remember what Jesus said. Let's go to John 13. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. And this is one of the things Jesus said on the night when he had, on the Passover, after the Passover a service that he'd had, he was talking to the disciples, and it was very clear what Christ said. It's page 1072, John chapter 13 and verse 34. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another in the same way that I have loved you. That is how you are to love one another. Well, how did he love us? He gave everything for us, including his life. That is how we are to do to each other. We are to give ourselves to each other. And then he says, by this shall everyone know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And the way we show that love is by serving, by giving ourselves just like Christ did, because he said in verse 34, you love the brethren the same way that I loved you. And again, how did he do this? He gave himself. And we need to do the same. We need to give ourselves to each other and in whatever way that we can. Now, Paul, again, in Romans 12, let's turn there. Paul goes through a series of things here that we can talk about. Romans 12, I should say, in verse 8. Romans 12 and verse 8, page 1157. And Paul is telling us how to deal with each other in a church, in a local meeting. But this can apply even if you're miles away from anyone. Verse 8, he says, or the one who is encouraging, let him tend to encouragement. The one who is giving, let it be with generosity. And the one who is taking the lead, let it be with diligence. The one who is showing mercy, let it be with cheerfulness. So he's showing us how to act here. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhorring that which is evil, and cleaving to that which is good. He said, be kindly affectionate one toward another in brotherly love. And again, he's telling us the same thing that Christ did. We're to do this. Let each esteem the other more highly than himself. And that's the way we should do. We should put other people first. We should serve other people before we serve ourselves. We should always think of the other person. Think of that person who is lonely. Think of that person who is by themselves, whose husband or wife just passed away. Think of that person and give them a phone call. Maybe two or three phone calls in a week. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't cost anything. Just a little bit of our time. Whatever it is, raise that other person up. Let that other person know that people care for them. And this is what we need to do. And there's all kinds of things like this we can do. He says, do not be slack in business. Be fervent in spirit. Be timely in serving. Verse 12, he said, be rejoicing in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be steadfastly continuing in prayer. And again, he mentions prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and to strive to be hospitable. And again, that's what I'm saying. Contribute to the needs of the saints. What are those needs? Well, it's as varied as we are people. So we need to find out what those needs are. And we can help. He said, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high ambitions. Rather be accommodating with those of lowly state. Do not be wise in your own eyes. And boy, this is some things that we could talk about forever. I'm not going to today. But that we could, there are sermons right here in each one of these lines. Let's not, as he says, let's be accommodating with those of low estate. We never want to look at someone and put them below us. Regardless of who they are, we are to lift them up. And if anything, we're to put ourselves below them. That is what Christ did. Look, he was the Son of God. He was the God of the Old Testament. He's the one that gave the commandments. He was the one that created everything. He did all this. And what did he do? He became a human being. Look how low he came to serve us. And we need to, get all this other stuff out of our heads. He says, do not render to anyone evil for evil. Do not be prepared to do what, he said, but be prepared to do what is right in the sight of all men. And we need to think about this in the church. And then if possible, as much as it is your part, be at peace with all men. So Paul has given us a real good description of how we are to act and do toward each other. Now, sometimes, when we do get discouraged, when we do get down and out, Satan then wants to move in. And Satan, he always finds an opportunity. So we can't give in. We can't, we must resist. And sometimes, we get maybe even where we think we can't even pray or something like this. People get discouraged. Brethren out here can get discouraged. When you get to where you think you can't even pray, because I had people say, I don't know what to, I can't even get down to pray. Turn to Romans 8. We're in Romans. Let's go to chapter 8 and verse 26. And this is what Paul wrote here. Romans 8 and verse 26. If you get to where you can't even pray, think of this. Now in the same way also, the Spirit is co-jointly helping our weaknesses because we do not fully understand what we should pray for. Sometimes we don't know even what to pray for. Sometimes you just can't find the words. He said, accordingly as it is necessary, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be expressed by us. So we can turn here and we can turn it over to God and the Holy Spirit that's in us, and it will intercede for us, even in our prayers. So, let's not get ourselves down to the point that we think that we're even going to lose out. Let's not do that. Now, when we're dealing with brethren and we're trying to serve the brethren and sometimes it can really be difficult. Sometimes people can be difficult. And I just kind of think about this. I know that Christ had to get discouraged from time to time when he was here on earth. I mean, 3.5 years of talking to the disciples and they never really got it. They just really didn't get it. And I'm sure he thought, what do I say next? How can I explain it any different? Remember he said, oh, Philip, how long have I been with you? And so he got discouraged. He really did. And, Fred's cowbell. When I look at this, I kind of see this in my mind's eye. And it's not scriptural, but I think it is. I think it's at least partly. Can you see that when Christ ascended back to the Father, he's sitting at the right hand of God, and he's looking down now at his disciples, and here the day of Pentecost comes, and the Holy Spirit's poured out. And I'm sure that Jesus was looking at the Father and kind of grinning a little bit, saying, look at Peter. Yeah, you called him, and I picked him, and boy, humanly speaking, Peter shouldn't have been picked. You know, I mean, he was hot-headed. He was braggadocious. You know, he was like, saw Jesus walking on the water. I can walk on water. You know, he wanted to whack the guy's ear off. He's always, I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you, Jesus. I'll never do it. Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. No, not me. But then he looks down and he sees what's happened now. The same guy. And he looked down, and you can read this in Acts. And I'm just going to paraphrase a little bit. And he, as it was, he's looking old Satan right in the eyeball, you know, and he's saying, you, he's talking to the people, you crucified the Son of God. You crucified the Son of the living God. And God raised him from the dead. You did it. He pointed his fingers at these people. And of course, they were all cut to the quick, you know. I mean, they what can we do? What can we do? And of course, he gave them the salvation formula, you know, we read about in Acts 2:38. So we must not give up on people either. Jesus didn't give up on his disciples, even though they didn't really get it at first. Sometimes when we're serving the brethren, we got to think of this too. Let's not give up on people. Let's not give up on people. For the last verses that we'll read, let's go to Matthew 25. Matthew 25 and verse 46, or through verse 46. Matthew 25 and start with verse 35, page 989. Now you can substitute different words here, but let's start reading verse 35, Matthew 25 and verse 35, page 989. Now Jesus is speaking here. He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in the prison and you came to me." Then shall the righteous answer him and saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, and or thirsty and gave you to drink?" He says, "And when did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and we clothed you? And when did we see you sick and in prison and came to you?" And answering, the king shall say to them, "Truly, I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me." And these are words that we need to think about. And you can substitute anything in there. The needs of the saints, whatever they happen to be, the needs of the brethren, whatever they happen to be, whether it is hunger or thirst, it could be loneliness, it could be sadness, it could be anything. Remember what he says here in verse 40. "Truly I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of these, at least my brethren, you have done it to me." And I'm just not going to, I won't finish reading that chapter. So those are the verses that count. So we see here that Jesus is saying, when you serve the brethren, when you serve people who need help, you're doing it to him. And we need to be thinking about this. So we all need each other's help. And we all need to help each other. So let's hold one another up.